Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is what transforms the way we think. Lord, your word is spiritual food. It's bread, it's milk, it's meat to us. And we receive the impartation of that strength into us, Lord. Father, we thank you that as we look to your word, that it gives us guidance and direction for our lives. So as we look to your word tonight, Father, by the Holy Spirit, I just thank you for utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. But Lord, give me ways of saying things so that truth can come, so lives are set free. Father, that things will be exposed. The ways of the enemy will be exposed in people's lives by your light and by your truth so that people can walk free and live free by your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so far what we've looked at the fact that our spirits are God's lamp. We talked about Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We also looked at Romans chapter 8, verse number 16, which says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Some of the other things we looked at is that we are spirits. We are not minds and bodies. We have minds. We live in bodies, but we are spirits. That's the part of us that's born again. We looked at scriptures that back that up. We talked about becoming more spirit aware. We talked about the difference between the spirit and the soul. And then also we talked about the body and what some of the desires of the body and the main purpose of having a body. You know, the main purpose of having a body on this earth is not so that we can see how much entertainment we can consume. The main purpose of having a body is very simply, according to Paul, it was a slave for righteousness. That was the purpose, you know, which is not, it's not that we can't do fun things. It's just not the, most Christians don't think that way. They don't look at their bodies as, something to be used for the kingdom of God. They look at, some Christians worship their bodies. I mean, whatever their body wants, they do. That's what they do. You know, that's what they say, all those things. So, we looked at the body and the importance of controlling it and dominating it through the power of the Holy Spirit, which we saw in Romans 8:13. Then we looked at the number one leading of the Holy Spirit as a Christian. And the number one leading that we follow is the inward witness. I know we're on the spectacular, more of the spectacular leadings right now. But that's not the primary way that God leads us. The primary way that God leads us is by the Holy Spirit on the inside. And we looked at that. We looked at several scriptures on that. We talked about following the witness. And then we talked about conscience and the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We talked about some different scriptures. There's actually like 20 or 30 scriptures where conscience is mentioned just in the New Testament. And then we went into spectacular guidance, which is where we are right now. We talked about visions last week. We also talked about guidance through prophecy. And I'm going to kind of hit right there. We got almost all the way through it. You remember we went through the book of Acts and talked about where Paul had received several different prophecies about what was going to take place to him on his way to Jerusalem. Or through Jerusalem and then to eventually, I think Rome is where he ended up. Cause he was headed to Caesar cause he pleaded his case before Caesar. Paul was actually a Roman citizen and not a Roman citizen by money, by birth. Cause you remember when you read in the scriptures where Paul's about to get, whooped again. Okay. So Paul got beat quite a few times for being a preacher. Okay. It was not well received by the Jews or the people of that day as far as Jesus being the Messiah and being the Son of God. And it's still not received in some cultures like that. It depends on how ingrained the enemy is in that area. But he was about to be whipped again, and Paul looked at the man. He was probably sitting there thinking, I had to use my political rights is what he was probably thinking. But he looked at the guy that was about to beat him and he said, would you beat a Roman citizen without a trial? Well, if you've ever looked at the Romans and how they operated, they were law abiders. I mean, not all of them, but they had a strict law. And if certain things happened that were without a fair trial, the person that imposed that penalty could get that penalty. Does that make sense? So Paul said, would you do that? And the man looked at him and said, you're a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. And the man looked at him and said, with a great sum of money, I purchased my citizenship. And Paul said, I was born a Roman citizen. And that scared him. So he didn't end up getting beat that day. So it was good for him. But we were talking about prophecies and personal prophecies. And this is, I want to read a few things to you from this book in regards to this. Some of it, because I have never had some of the experiences that Brother Hagin has. And so he can just explain it better and bring understanding about it. Some things I have had in these areas. I mean, I've had dreams. I shared that last week. I've had prophetic prophecies given to me that were of God. And I've had other prophecies given to me that were of fried chicken and pizza. You know what I mean? In other words, it was not God. They just missed it. You know, they just didn't hit it. Because when somebody actually speaks to you by the Spirit of God, by a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, it has an impact in you and it changes you. Or it witnesses with what you already have in your heart. For instance, like if it depends on the setting. Like in the setting that I'm in here as a pastor, it's a lot of teaching. And it's not that there isn't gifts of the Spirit in operation like word of wisdom or word of knowledge, but a lot of it will just come out while I'm preaching and teaching. Does that make sense? So it's less demonstrative. You have to listen to hear it. But to me, it happens. This is the primary way that God leads me in the way I hear from Him in a service like this. I will listen to the minister, whoever's ministering, and when I'm listening to them, the Holy Spirit will witness something to me, or the Lord will give this person words to speak that he doesn't even know, or she doesn't even know what she's speaking. It's just, you're under the anointing, you're under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and the words just come. You don't even know what you're talking about. This last Sunday service, I mean, I don't know how many testimonies we had of people that said, man, that service just impacted me. You know, and there's many times where people will come up to me afterwards or whoever the speaker is, and you'll hear them say, boy, that this part really spoke to me, or this. And what is that? That's a form of the word of knowledge or the Spirit of God witnessing to that person saying, this is what you need at this moment. And it speaks into a circumstance that the minister knows nothing about, but the Holy Spirit knows. That's why I pray before the service. I mean, I pray on my own, but I pray with the group too. You say, why would you pray with the group? Because I want you to use your faith. I want you to expect. If your mind is off going on other things in the sense of, if you allow your mind to drift other directions, you may miss what God says to you. I was listening to a minister one time, and that happens in every service. I've tried to make it not happen, but I gave up after a while because I realized you can't control people. So in my youth, I tried. But I just relax now and just go with the Lord. If they miss it, they miss it, I guess. But there was a minister one time that was in a service, and he was sitting to the side. He wasn't ministering, but he and his wife had taken in a young man who was in a lot of trouble. He had gotten himself into a bunch of trouble. And while the minister that was up there was ministering, this minister walked right over in front of this person and began to speak by the anointing specifically to this boy's situation and what he was dealing with. And he didn't call the young man out. It wasn't something, you know, that highlighted one person. That can happen in a service. Especially if you have a prophet ministering, a true prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, people have tried to call me other things, and, you know, I know what I am right now, and if God wants to alter it, I guess He'll let me know. But until then, I'm just gonna do what He told me to do. But anyway, so He walked right in front of this young man, and he just starts speaking directly to this young man's situation. He needed to hear these words. And the young man got distracted by something in the room and just looked away and didn't even listen. And the anointing, or the minister stopped and then got back to his message, and that young man totally missed it. He totally missed the help that God could have had to him and gave to him. And that happens all the time. And sometimes I think people think, well, why didn't God really get his attention? God gives you the opportunity. You have to pay attention. That's how it works. That's how it functions. If you choose to focus in, you won't miss him. But God expects us to focus in. You know, it's like I've dealt with this a lot in youth group. But I've seen it in adults too. They just sit on their phone during the whole service, you know, and pretend like they're in their Bible. And they're really liking things on Facebook, you know. I like that. You know, it's disrespectful to the Holy Ghost. Because see, you think if you've been that person or you know somebody like that, they're just thinking, oh, that person's up there talking. Okay. Then it is. Or you can recognize the anointing and the gift of God in the person and pay attention. You know what I mean? And when you do that, then God sees, he knows. I mean, you may be able to fool everybody around you, but you can't fool him. He knows exactly where you're at. And it doesn't mean that he's upset or mad with you. You're just going to miss what God has for you. You know? And our generations, our culture has gotten more and more that way. And so I just wanted to read to you about this, some of these things out of this book on the prophet and the ministry of the prophet. We talked about those different things. And we actually ended up last week where Acts 23:11, where it says, but the following night the Lord stood by the apostle Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul, as you testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. And remember, there were people that were saying that there was a lot of persecution that was going to happen in Jerusalem and then also at Rome. And they would tell him, don't go, Paul. And Paul said, what mean you to break my heart? You know, in other words, I love you guys too. He said, but I'm not only ready to go preach in Rome, I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. So they were prophesying. The Bible actually says out of the Spirit they said it. What they said was out of their own spirit. It wasn't by the Holy Spirit. Now they were picking up on what was going to happen, but what did they do with it? They put their own interpretation on it. And you have to be careful about that, especially in the areas of the gifts of the Spirit, because you don't want to say what it is. Does that make sense? I remember one time I was at a youth camp, and I ended up praying for all the leaders in this group, and I was laying hands on them going down the line, and just seeing what the Holy Spirit would tell me to tell them. And one girl, I put my hand on her, and I just said, you're not stuck, you're rooted. That's all I said. And she broke down. I mean, she just broke, started crying. Because she felt like, I'm stuck in this spot forever. I'm going to be stuck here forever. You know? Does a tree do that? I can't move. But if you're submitted to God, he may root you and you can't go nowhere. And guess what? Trees don't get to dodge storms. They get to put their roots down deeper. And storms actually will cause roots to go deeper. So if you're in a storm, just bless the Lord. Roots are going deep. As long as you go to the Word, you'll be fine. You'll make it through. You'll make it through. So anyway, the office of a prophet, okay? I was reading this today and looking at it, and there's just some really good things here. There is the office of the prophet. Without going into detail, he says this about it. We will touch the office of the prophet briefly concerning guidance. For one to be a prophet, he stands in that office and uses that ministry. Other spiritual gifts besides prophecy must operate in his ministry. The simple gift of prophecy, as we have said, now listen to this, because there are two different prophecies in the New Testament, okay? The simple gift of prophecy is something where you speak unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Anybody can function in that gift. Do you remember in the book of Corinthians, Paul said, desire, or I wish you all would prophesy, right? He talked about prophesying. Well, if everybody can prophesy, does that make everybody prophets? No. No. This is the simple gift of prophecy. It is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. How many have ever had somebody speak to you? You were going through something, and they spoke by the Spirit of God to you, and it brought comfort to you. That was the simple gift of prophecy. Sometimes people think prophecy, you know, they get this weird idea in their mind. It's this exotic, big, you know, thing with a magic drum roll in the background and thus saith the Lord. And there is that, but most prophecy in the simplest form is just somebody speaking to you in edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's why this simple gift of prophecy can often come through the preaching and teaching of the Word. Because it'll just come to you. And you'll go, oh, that makes sense. Oh, that speaks to my situation. And so anybody can function in that gift. Now, in this simple gift of prophecy, there is no foretelling. There is no prediction. Okay? There's no prediction whatsoever. However, in the ministry of the prophet, there is foretelling and prediction. In other words, if it's a true prophet, they are speaking out into the future. They're telling you what's going to come. Okay? So you remember, we looked at this. You remember Agabus? He came down and he grabbed Paul's belt and he wrapped his own hands up, and I think his feet or something like that. And he said, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Holy Spirit, the man that owns this is what's going to happen to the man that owns this belt. In other words, down the road, it's coming. The other ones are like, oh, something bad's going to happen. Oh, we don't know what it is. Don't go. But Agabus didn't do that. He just said, you're going to be bound. And what happened to Paul? He was bound. That's what happened. So he was foretelling something that was going to happen. People say, well, how could that happen? Because God knows the end from the beginning. It's simple for God. You know, we look at it and we go, huh? Because our finite minds are stuck here. They're stuck in this controlled time environment. But God is not stuck in time. He sees ahead what's going to happen, okay? And he knows. All right, so he says this. A prophet has the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits in operation along with prophecy. Okay? So a prophet has these gifts in operation in their ministry. Now, the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge has to do with a now situation. The word of wisdom has to do with the future. It's out a ways, okay? So it's wisdom. It has to do with the future. Discerning of spirits is not looking at somebody and going, they're weird. Discerning of spirits is the spirit of seeing and knowing. You say, what does that mean? That means the prophet can look into the spirit and see things that are going on. He can, or she can, if it's a prophetess, because they're both, men and women that stand in that office, they can look in and see things that are going on. For instance, I'll give an example of one of Brother Hagin. He was ministering to somebody one time who had headaches all the time. Couldn't get rid of them. And he saw in the spirit when he was ministering to that person, and he said he saw like a demon is what it was. He called it a monkey-looking like thing, or an imp. And that monkey-looking thing had its arms wrapped around this person's head, like tight. Does that make sense? So he's seeing into the spirit and seeing that. He rebuked the demon, and the guy actually said it felt like a rubber band snapped off his head. And when that happened, he quit having headaches. Just like that. So what is that? What is that knowing? Well, there's a lot of things going on there. But it's discerning into the spirit. Okay? Because I've heard different people give a definition of the discerning of spirits, and I don't like it. I mean, it's not deep enough. You know what I mean? It's very almost psychic. This is a knowing. This is a This is a definite thing by the Spirit of God. This is not the gift of suspicion or the operation of suspicion. Well, I think they might have. Well, your opinion or my opinion, you know, it's like belly buttons. They're good for nothing. Except for collecting lint. They will collect lint. Okay? They don't matter. I mean, you just got to be careful with those things. Okay? I think sometimes in our youngness, I know I have in my life at times, I've in my zealousness and youth to want to be able to see or know some of these things in the Scripture, I made stuff up in my own head. Does that make sense? I mean, God didn't leave me. I'm still here. You know, He keeps working with you. But there are times where, and the longer I've walked with the Lord, the more I've gone, oh, Lord, I'm sorry about that. And He's like, it's okay, Sean. You're growing. And you see more as you go. And you understand more as you go. But it takes time. There's just no way around it. It takes time. And if you're doing it right, if you're in your relationship with the Lord, if you're doing it right, the Lord's correcting you. He's not yelling at you. He's making corrections. Does that make sense? He's going, no, we can't. No, that's not right. You got to go this way. No, you're off here. You got to go this way. And He's making those corrections. And so we need to be aware of that in these things. So that's what the Spirit or the office of a prophet does. It is important to realize that spiritual things can be misused just like natural things can be misused. Isn't that an interesting statement? I thought, my goodness. But then you look at the Corinthian church, which is where all these gifts of the Spirit are dealt with in the Scripture. What were they doing? They were a mess. That church was a gigantic spiritual mess. I started writing down today, I'm in my devotion time, I'm reading through Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and I'm just going down the list. And I'm reading through these different things, and I'm going, God. And He goes, I know. You know, it's like, I'm reading it and I'm going, I started listing the problems. I did. I was just like, this would be good leadership teaching right here. I mean, they're getting drunk at communion. They're eating all the communion bread, and one person's full and another person didn't get any of the bread. I mean, they ate the whole body of Jesus and drank all His blood. Paul says, don't you have a home to eat in? I mean, you think about that. It's like, holy smokes. Who's the pastor at this church? You know, what are you guys doing? I mean, the things that Paul had to deal with, sometimes I think, you know, we got it easy. You know, they got a church where the gifts of the Spirit are it's interesting because they're so out of control. But Paul never said stop having them. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that's, there are churches today that stop having it. They're in direct disobedience to the Scripture. Because the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul did not say, shut the whole thing down. We're not having that anymore. He said, get it in line. But then He said, desire spiritual gifts. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell that to a group that are all trying to pray in tongues at once, all trying to prophesy at once, all having a word and a wisdom and a teaching and everything all at once. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell them to desire those things, but He didn't curb the zeal for those things. What He did is He corrected and brought them into alignment. I've actually sat across from pastors, one specifically that I'm thinking of, and he just looked at me. He said, Sean, he said, I didn't know how to operate in that kind of service. And so he just stopped it. And I mean, it's not a heaven or hell issue, you understand. But I will say this, as a pastor myself, my heart breaks for people who don't get the opportunity to grow. Because I know how vicious the devil is. And you need every bit that the Lord has given us. You need as much, if I can pack as much information, revelation, illumination into you as possible before you leave this planet, the better off you are. Because you'll have something to fight the enemy with. And so, anyway, it's important to realize, though, that spiritual things can be misused, just as natural things can be misused. Some folks have never realized that. They think that just because it is spiritual, it has to be perfect, that it cannot be misused. I have known people who were at one time wealthy who are now bankrupt because they listened to someone prophesy how to invest their money. That's a misuse. You should never let anybody tell you what to... That's why when we take up offerings around here, you'll hear Mike say it, you'll hear me say it. If the Lord tells you to give, good. Give. Do whatever He tells you. If He doesn't, don't. Why would I want you to disobey what God is saying? Does that make sense? So gifts, places of authority, different things like this can be misused. They can be taken out of context of what they're supposed to be. He said, I remember a dear man who was in one of my meetings. I knew who he was, but I didn't really know him. I did not know that he would never make a business deal without calling a so-called prophet. And so-called is the word there. Okay? To prophesy to him what to do. Now, I'm going to balance this all out, so don't lose your salvation over this. He said, I said to him, this is what Brother Hagin said to him. Now, I know for a fact Brother Hagin was a prophet because I sat in the meetings, okay? And his life was proven. It was marked about how his ministry as far as a prophet and a teacher. But he said this, I seem impressed to say this to you. You are going to lose everything you have and go bankrupt if you keep listening to whoever is advising you. Wow. Here he's going to a prophet. And he's losing all his money. And here a prophet standing in front of him and gives him a word, but doesn't say, you have to do this. He says, I seem impressed to tell you. I seem impressed to tell you. If I watched Brother Hagin do it once, I watched him do it I don't know how many times. Here he's 83 years old. We're watching him minister to people at meetings. He's been in the ministry for 4 years or something like that? He's been in the ministry a long time. And he's laying hands on people and he'll give them a prophetic word. But right before he does it, he'll say, now I could miss it. I'm a man. Judge this. I mean, he's seen the head of the church 8 times. And yet he still understands the balance of the scripture in that each person has to be led. I'll tell you another one, because I was there. I used to go to prayer school, and there was a minister at prayer school named Jim Hockaday at the time, and he ministered and taught us how to pray. And he talked about how he was in a meeting with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin walked up to him and said, I could miss it on this, but somebody's going to offer you a ministry position, and I don't think you're supposed to take it. Because he traveled with Brother Hagin and sang on his worship team that he traveled with. Within a week, Brother Hagin's son offers Jim Hockaday a position. Well, now what you gonna do? You better be led. He got to praying about it, and in his heart, he knew he was supposed to take the position at prayer school. He did not want to leave Brother Hagin. He didn't want to. And here the prophet said this to him. Right? It doesn't matter what office they hold. You have to follow your heart. You have to. And he took the right position. He ended up taking the position. And he went and talked to Brother Hagin about it. Brother Hagin said, go with what you got. He didn't say, I'm the man of God. I've been at this for so many years. You better do what I say. Anybody ever does that to you, run. Run. And don't look back. Just say, see ya. Okay? God doesn't even do that to you. He didn't try and control you. Well, if you don't do what I want, right? Okay. So, anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. That's a good memory. I haven't thought about that in a long time. He said, you're going to lose everything. He didn't listen. The poor fellow who was very wealthy lost his home and everything he had. Not just wealthy, very wealthy. He said, I have seen this happen not just one time, but many times. He said, I have seen ministers who have lost their ministries because of wrong prophecies. They followed it. They lost their entire ministry. He said, he said this, you have to judge prophecies by the word of God. If prophecy is not in line with the word of God, it is not right. Secondly, you have to judge personal prophecies by what you have in your own spirit. If you do not have something in your own spirit, do not accept a personal prophecy. I don't care who gives it to you. Don't. You have your own heart. You know your heart, and the Holy Spirit's in you, witnessing with you. He said, for years I have traveled extensively. Now think about this, in the ministry. He said, everywhere I go, there is always someone who has a word from the Lord for me. Sometimes two or three. He said, in all the years, only one or two of them have been correct. You're talking about a man who went and traveled. He would do three-week meetings in places. 2 and 3 week meetings. He'd just stay there. And he'd travel all over the world. And every year, because Pentecostals, you know, we learn stuff and we try stuff out, which there's nothing wrong with. But there should be some maturity with it. There should be some growth in you as you go. You understand what I'm saying? So in all these years, let's just say he had been traveling for 40 years and there were three prophecies every meeting he went to, or two, let's go two, prophecies every meeting he did in that 1 year, times 40. That's hundreds of prophecies by the time you're done. And yet only two or three were right. Now, you have to hear from the Lord for yourself. People don't like that because you know it's easier to get a word. It's easier to get a word than wait on the Lord. It's much easier. It's just much easier. He said this, do not build your life on prophecies. Do not guide your life by prophecies. Build your life on the word. Let the other things be secondary. Put the word of God first. Always. Always. People sometimes say, well, if God is doing it, it has to be right. You have to realize that it isn't exactly God doing it. It is men prophesying under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Anything that man has to do with is not perfect. How many have noticed? Okay? That's the case. That's how it works. Okay? Because we're using our faith. We're growing in these things. The Spirit of God is perfect. The gifts of the Spirit in themselves are perfect. But they certainly do not always, they are not always perfect in manifestation, because they are manifested through imperfect vessels. This is the reason prophecy and tongues with interpretation need to be judged by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:29 and 30 says this, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So let the prophets speak. The Bible is talking about prophets here, not just anyone who prophesies. So not just anyone who prophesies. This is talking about prophets. Do not accept something just because a prophet said it. It is to be judged according to the Bible. We do not judge people. Now hear this. We judge what they said. Okay? We do not judge people. We judge what they said. What were the words? You can, I could give you bad advice. Okay? But you need to judge what I said, not me. And vice versa. Does that make sense? Okay? So, he says this, notice verse 30. And verse 30 says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. He says this, if anything be revealed to another prophet, prophets have revelations. Others might occasionally, but prophets have a ministry along this line. So they have a ministry along the line of revelations. 1 Corinthians 14:32 says this, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Some people have said, God made me do that. I couldn't help but say that. The spirits of the prophets, according to 1 Corinthians 14:32, are subject to the prophets. That means a person does not have to say it. It comes out of his spirit. It is subject to him. The gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy operate under the unction of the Spirit. It might be that God, through these methods, would give us a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or revelation as we need it, but we initiate the operation of prophecy, we initiate the operation of tongues and interpretation, and we are the ones who have to speak it out. Many times when the Spirit of God is moving, anyone who can prophesy could do so, but that does not mean one should. Also, when the Spirit is in manifestation, anyone who is used in the ministry gift of tongues and interpretation, and I am, I'll just tell you that right now, I've done it many times. Like when we go down to the believers' rally, it's a believers' meeting, so it's more of an open setting where Larry Phelan is navigating the service, and he'll call different ones up and give a tongue, and somebody will give an interpretation, or somebody will have a tongue and they'll give an interpretation. Do you know while I'm sitting in my seat, I have it? I have it inside of me. I know the direction that it's going to go. Now, an interpretation is not a translation. Okay? So in other words, it's not a verbatim thing, but I will have a similar vein of what was said in other tongues in English. And I could get up and give that at any time. I could jump up and go, I got it, I got it, I got it. Do you know what I do? I never say a word. I actually just sit there and wait for Larry to call me. Or whoever's leading. I just wait. Why? They're in charge of the service. What do I need to give it for? There's other people that can give it. I'm geared that way by the Spirit of God. So I know on the inside of me what's happening, but that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is saying, in other words, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the, you say you're calling yourself a prophet. No, I'm saying my spirit, I control me. So even if the Holy Spirit says something to me, I can say nothing. I'll just tell you this. There are many times I know things and I say nothing. Why? Not necessary. Sometimes people are just not ready to hear. They're just not ready. Do you know you can, how many have done this with your kids? You know something they need, but you know they can't take it right now. There's just too much other stuff going on. And if you add this to it, it's going to push them over the edge. Does that make sense? Have you ever had this? You ever had a two-year-old come up to you and go, ask you a question that you know there's no way on God's green earth they're going to understand the answer. And you have to divert it? God's the same way with us. And I'll just say this, in spiritual things, as you mature in the Lord, you'll recognize inside of you, I just need to pray about that. I don't need to say anything right now. The other day, I had it on my heart, and I've been praying about it for a while, to visit a gentleman in the church that started a business. And I kept driving on my way to work. I'd drive by this guy's business every day, almost every day, or at least 3-4 times a week. And I'm going by, and every time I just had this, like, I got to go see him. But then I'd have a, nope, not right now. Nope, not right now. But for months, it sat in me. I need to go visit this person. It's there. But then the timing, it just wasn't, nope, it's just not right yet. And then the other day, I was driving by, and the Lord said, go see him right now. And I went and ministered to him, and it was God. Now, could good have come out of me visiting before? Well, yeah, God's going to do as much as he can. But I waited for the timing to be right, and it was even better. You know what I mean? Because it's not what you know. It's not how well you can say it. It's will they receive it? That's the bigger issue. Do you know, I've known things in situations that would totally solve the situation, but I know in my heart they won't receive it. And if I do bring it, if I try and push it, they will run even further than they currently are. In situations in pastoring and ministering to people. I know if I try and push the envelope on things, they will turn me off and run. And they'll actually get harder. So I just don't touch it. I just leave it alone. You say, how do you do that? It's been years of practice and making mistakes. Honestly, that's the truth. And the Lord has not fired me yet. So, so just keep after it. You know what I mean? But I heard a minister say this one time. He said, if you give somebody a prophecy and their life gets messed up, he said, you and them are going to be in my office talking about it. Why? He's a good pastor. Right? That's a good pastor. And people are like, you're not going to get into my life, preacher. Well, then you don't want a pastor. You want a hireling. I ain't that. That's not what I am. I'm not a controller, but there's got to be some level. You understand what I'm saying? And you guys know that about me. I don't just run around trying to get in everybody's business. I pray for you is what I do. And if the Lord tells me something, I say it. If he doesn't, I won't. And I'll just tell you this. If the Lord gives me something, most of the time I won't walk up to you and say, thus saith the Lord. I'll just start a conversation with you and we'll have one. I don't do that. Why? It's not necessary. I hear from the Holy Spirit. I know. And it's not that I can't miss it. It's just that I know presentation is a lot, right? It just is. And, you know, I could, you know, have a steak here and just leave it raw and throw it on the plate in front of you and say, eat the steak. Or I could cook it, put some seasoning on it, put some potatoes around it and some vegetables. And some, Mike doesn't like vegetables. All right, so. Or whatever. And cook it a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Cook it a little bit. Give it a little more flavoring. And get your taste buds and your saliva glands going. And then go, how about this? And you'll go, yeah, I think we'll have some of that. Apple pie is, there's a process. There's a reason why you can smell first before you put it in your mouth. Come on. Yeah. Do you see what you guys, everybody's going to go home and eat. So make things palatable. It helps. It helps. He says, many times when the Spirit of God is moving, anyone who can prophesy could do so. But that does not mean one should. Also, when the Spirit is in manifestation, anyone who is used in the ministry gift of tongues and interpretation could speak. But that does not mean he should. Have that unction of the Spirit to do it. Otherwise, just sit there and let God move through someone else who has it. Some people don't like that because they're afraid they're missing their moment to prove how spiritual they are. And when you force things, you just prove how unspiritual you are. That's the truth. Now, there are others, thanks to Shane, who gave me this revelation. Some horses need to be pulled. They need to have the reins jerked. Some of them need to be kicked. That's a deep revelation, isn't it? I've got more mileage out of that revelation. Than I even use it on Shane. It's great. But it's true, nonetheless. There are some people that are just, they're gung-ho, they're zealous for God. There's nothing wrong with that. But zeal without knowledge is useless. You need knowledge. And we're all, and you should be continuing to gain knowledge. And then other people really know the Lord. They're just super silent about things. And usually the reason is because of, they're scared. That's the truth. They're afraid. I know people, I know for years, there were times where, like Heidi has known many things spiritually for years and years and years, but she wouldn't say anything. Yeah. You're pushing 40, sweetie. So for years she would know things, but she was concerned that she was going to miss it. And so she wouldn't say it. That's not okay. Now, when we were first married, I pushed way too hard or pulled or jerked or did something. But over time, she doesn't have any problem. She can get up and do it. You know what I mean? Get her done. And so everybody's at where they're at, but the important thing is to be led, okay? And to know on the inside what you're supposed to do. I'm going to share this too. But it says, Brother Hagin said this. He said, I held a 7-week meeting in a church years ago. Every single night about the same time as at the same spot in the service, just as they got ready to pass the offering plates, this woman got up and spoke with tongues. She said the same thing in tongues every night. After a while, I could have said the same thing she said. If no one else would interpret, of course, a 7-week meeting, you know. Can you imagine a 7-week meeting? Our culture's like, huh? You know, I had to be in church for an hour straight. You know, stuff like that. But anyway, she would get up and say this. He said, after a while, I could have said the same thing she said. If no one else would interpret it, she would. It was like someone poured cold water over the crowd. It deadened the service. The pastor asked me to teach the auditorium class one Sunday morning when he had to be out. This was unusual, but I finished before the bell rang. Any preacher that finishes before the bell rang, it's unusual. One of the deacons said, Brother Hagin, may I ask a question? He said, well, yes, I said. I thought it would be in line with the lesson. This is what Brother Hagin said. He said, when messages in tongues with interpretation are given in a public assembly, shouldn't they be a blessing to the congregation? That is a way you can judge something. Okay? It should bless the crowd. The anointing will go out from that person over the crowd. Does that make sense? Okay? And he said this, should it kill the service? The dear woman was sitting right in front of me. This is what Brother Hagin says. I said, that is beside the lesson. Brother Hagin's a nice guy, you know. He said, I'd rather not get into that right now. But others, some of the leaders of the church said, Brother Hagin, we ought to answer that. Now watch this. He's a prophet and a teacher. He submitted to their leadership. Why? Because any prophet that comes into a church is submitted to that pastor. People go, well, no, he outranks him. No, he doesn't. Any man of God that tries to control or take over where they're not in control is not a man of God. A man of God is gentle and meek, and he'll wait to be called upon. Okay, so he says this. He said, but others, some of the leaders of the church said, Brother Hagin, we ought to answer that. So I said, if it is in the Spirit, it will lift the service high. It will not push it down. That woman was intelligent enough to catch on to that. She came to me and said, I have been wrong, haven't I? I said, yes, ma'am, you have. She said, I thought so all the time. See, you know inside you. But she just kept pushing over it. I'm sure she just wanted to be used. You know what I mean? Which is fine. You know, I mean, I understand. She said, I thought so all the time. She said, there was a witness on the inside of me that knew that. But I wanted to be used of God. I'm going to stop that. I said, thank you. You are a real blessing to the church. It's not meant to be funny. Others might have gotten angry about it, saying, they won't allow God to move. Have you ever met that person? We were in prayer school one time as ushers. And of course, this is an atmosphere where people are praying. This is a believer's meeting. This isn't a get the sinners lost or get the sinners saved meeting, okay? They're already lost. You can't get them any more lost. See, the gifts don't operate in perfection through people. So, but anyway, he said this. He said, we were in a service praying, and there was a man in the back that stood up and started marching toward the front. I mean, he's going for the microphone. He's got a word from the Lord, and we're ushers. Thank God for good ushers that are paying attention. The Bible says watch and pray. So when you're an usher, you better watch because somebody might try and do something stupid. So he gets up in the back. He starts walking toward the front, and he's going. He's almost got to the stage, and my buddy, I was sitting here. I think I was sitting here over here, but he came up on this side, and a buddy of mine, Rich Castle, was sitting on this side, and he jumped up, and he grabbed that guy by the arm and said, where are you going? And he said, I got a word from the Lord. He said, no, you don't. He told him to go sit down. He said, if you have a word from the Lord will tell the leaders. And if they miss it, it's on them. Okay? And he said, afterwards, you know, he came up to Rich and he said, you know, you broke the spirit when you grabbed me. Yeah, we broke a spirit. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was a different spirit. Because the enemy's a spirit, and he wants to operate too. But anytime you get something and you think it's from the Lord and it has this driving feeling, it's not from the Lord. The Lord doesn't drive, he leads. In other words, he doesn't grab Heidi by the hand and jerk her. He looks at Heidi and goes, hey, let's go this way. Look at this over here. Because he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't come in and start slapping people around and beating people up and, you better prophesy or else. Go take over this whole service. But there are people that you say, why are you teaching on this? Because as the Spirit of God moves more in this church, we're going to have to deal with it. Thank God it's not our first rodeo. It's not my first rodeo. I've been to many rodeos in church, not outside of church. Not real familiar with the other rodeos, but have been in a lot of church rodeos. Okay? So we're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So others might have gotten angry about it, saying they won't allow the Spirit of God to move. Sometimes folks speak out, like this woman without the unction of the Spirit. This does not do away with the fact that her tongues were real. They were real. They were out of line. They were real. However, they were in imperfect operation. They were misused. I admonish people to be very careful about personal prophecies. So many lives have been shipwrecked and ruined by not being careful regarding personal prophecy. Not that it's wrong, just being careful. Don't marry someone because someone prophesied you should. Ever. Ever. Don't ever do that. He said, I have seen so many so-called prophecies through the years. And then he says, I have never seen one of these marriages work out yet. Homes have been broken up by so-called prophecies. He said also, don't go into ministry because somebody prophesied you should. Actually, I had a friend of mine, a minister friend of mine, he asked me one time, and even my own kids have done this, Brother Hagin knew his son was called to ministry, and he would ask him, Dad, am I called to ministry? He said, you need to pray about it, son. You know, I've been in services. Glory to God. And I've seen kids go up for prayer. And somebody prophesy, you're the next Apostle Paul. And da-da-da-da. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. God is not telling that kid that. You know, a nine-year-old. What kind of pressure is that? If God needs to get a hold of a person first individually. You know, I've had even Ian, this is private, so don't tell him. Just don't break it up. But he'll make comment to me. You know, I'm going to, Dad, maybe I'll be a pastor someday. I do not look at him and say, yeah, you go after God. You know, you keep going after that. I never do that. I say, buddy, you need to hear from God. Why? Because ministry ain't easy. It is not easy. And unless you heard from God for yourself, the devil will take you out. He will. Now, somebody can confirm a call. There's nothing wrong with that. But I've watched it happen. I've watched prophecies go out, and I'm going, I've watched parents who are pastors call their kids Pastor so-and-so. That's a bad idea. Now, this is me talking, okay? So you do what you want. But I'm just going to be real honest. It's a bad idea. What if they're Dr. So-and-so? Well, your daddy's a preacher. You got to be a preacher. That is not necessarily true. What if they're called to be a billionaire businessman to fund the gospel? What if they're called to be a Sunday school teacher? And I know why parents do it. I understand why. Because they love their kids. And they see their kid and naturally, they're thinking naturally, boy, wouldn't it be great if they did this or that? It'd only be great if God called them to it. And I'll just tell you this. Most people are not called to fivefold ministry. Most. In fact, most people are called to the helps ministry. Even, listen to me, if there's an anointing when they speak. Okay? It's just the truth. I don't know any other way to slice it. Most people are not called to be a lead horse. They're just not. And if you're not called to be one, don't try. Some people are like, you don't have to worry about that. I never want to get up in front of people ever. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I've joked and I'd say, you know, if somebody wants to take over, I'll gladly hold the door and greet people. I'll gladly do it. Are you kidding me? I will usher all, I can park cars with the best of them. Right in this place, ma'am. Right here. But listen, I'd be functioning outside of my grace. Does that make my grace better than the car parker? No. The call is great because it's God's. It has nothing to do with positions. But don't call yourself to ministry. Just don't even do it. Don't even bother. Don't even try. Because unless the grace is there, and you'll know if it's for you. Nothing else will fit. You know what I mean? You'll have a passion to do that. Even if your flesh says, I don't want to do that, your heart will go, you have to do this. This is what you're calling. I mean, or at least lead that way. Have to is probably not the best words. But it'll lead that way constantly. Your heart will lean that way. And if that's the case, then the anointing will be there and you'll know. And others will recognize it. But they'll have to confirm what you already have. Okay? All right, one more warning here. Because I love warnings. He says this. As long as the gift of prophecy stays in the realm of speaking to men for edification, exhortation, and comfort, it is wonderful. Encourage that. But many times someone who prophesies may see a prophet minister with a word of knowledge, of foreknowledge, then begins to think, I prophesy, so I can do that. Then moves out of the place where he should be into another realm where they should not be. Okay? So, a woman came up to me in one of our seminars we held in Tulsa. She had come with a group from a nearby city. She said, Brother Hagin, this is all new to us in our town. We have a weekly prayer group. I want to ask you something about it. You're going to love this. Some of them think I am wrong, but I don't think we are doing it right. Actually, I don't know if I would call it a prayer meeting. All they ever do is lay hands on one another and prophesy. They spend all afternoon prophesying over one another. I don't ever get anything good but a bad prophecy. They prophesied that my mother was going to die within 6 months. That was 18 months ago. She's not dead. Then they prophesied that my husband was going to leave me. He's not saved. But he's a fine man and I love him. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible talks about that. If you're married and you have a spouse that's not saved and you can live together and it's harmonious, God says go ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. But he says this, he's not saved, but he's a fine man. I love him and he's a good provider. We don't have any trouble. Those are just two examples. I always get prophecies that something bad is going to happen, but nothing bad has ever happened. Brother Hagin said, no, and it won't either. You're a child of God. She said, isn't that a misuse? I said, yes, it is. You need to know these. He said this, we need to know these things. It is very easy for babies to be misled and misguided. We can get off track. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about these things. It's just easy to do. There are things that it can get out of line quick. You know what I mean? It can get out of line quick. So, the Mirror translation, I guess I'll read these. Talking about judging prophecy, and we're about done here. But 1 Corinthians, back where we were, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Then I'll share a couple of prophecies that have been given to me. You say, you have prophecies that have been given to you. Yes, and I keep them. If I feel like they're from the Lord, I keep them. I judge them, but I keep them. Okay? Because if they're from the Lord, you can use them to fight according to the Bible spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:29 in the Mirror says this, let only two or three prophets speak while the others weigh what was said. You have to weigh what was said. Verse 30 says, if another picks up something that is not consistent with the revelation of the gospel, he should bring the conversation back to order while the first person be silent. Boy, isn't that good? I love that. If one picks up something that's out of line with the gospel, the other one should bring the conversation or bring the utterance back to the gospel, back to boundaries of the scripture. Okay? That doesn't mean they're quoting chapter and verse. It means they're within the boundaries of the scripture. Okay. So I have several prophecies here. I'm not going to be able to read them all. Here was one that was given us May 16th, 2012. Okay? That, you recognize that? Lindsay? She'll function this way. I have that one. I'm not going to read through them all. I can't. But here, I love this one was given to me. Pastor Sean, this is a word that the Lord has been stirring in me for a few months. Now listen to this. Only you will really know how God is dealing with your heart, for you have learned to hear the Lord speak to you and you know his voice. So take this word, pray over it. If God does not confirm that this is for you, then please discard it. That's wisdom right there, wouldn't you say? I still have it. Okay. That's a heart. You know they're not coming from a bad place. Okay. Here's a prophecy actually for me and Mike Hill right here. This was in 2004. It's 2017. It's 2018. See, the gifts, they work perfectly, just not through the vessel. It's 2018. Remember Mickey Robinson? I have your half and mine in here. Both. And now, we didn't work together in ministry for how long? 10 years? But now we are. And it's in this word. Okay? It's in this word. Jesus is calling. Okay. Yes, Jesus, is that you? Here's one my dad gave me right before he passed away. That one's right. I'm going to keep that one too. Here's one that was given to me in January of 2001. That's me and Heidi. That's our wedding picture. One of them. If you want to come up later, you can look at it. All right, here's the one I want to read to you. Oh, here's one that was given to me in 2017 from another minister that I don't even know in the city who's a worship leader here in town. And it's right on, but I don't have time to read it. This is the one I want to read. This one, I'm not sure when it was given to me. It was around the same time as the Mickey Robinson one in 2004. But this one is a general one. Now, the man that gave this to me, I think he's a genius. In many ways, just his ability to write, but he also hears from the Spirit of God. But at times in his life, I mean, I would not follow him as an example, okay? But I didn't judge the man, I judged the words. So listen to this. Sean, this is what the Lord told him. Like unto a ship's captain. You know what's interesting about that? Larry Phelan had laid hands on me out in Dickinson, and it felt like my guts were getting pulled. It was a weird sensation. I'd never felt that before. But anyway, I went out under the Spirit of God, and later I asked Jeremy Vester about it, and he said, oh, it takes guts to steer ship. That's what his, you know, because I had been praying about it. And Jeremy said to me, any old person can steer a dinghy, but it takes somebody with guts to steer a ship. You know what I mean? So anyway, he said, like unto a ship's captain sailing oceans of blue. Now this rhymes, okay, so just stick with me. You seek fair havens in all that you do. Undaunted by the unknown, setting sail at red dawn. Nonplussed by the warnings, it's a mission you're on. You run up the jib, soft breezes fill your sails, venturing uncharted waters amidst sea dragons and whales. There's a voice calling softly. What do you think that is? The Holy Ghost. Now the fire of God's going to hit me. Watch this. He says, there's a voice calling softly that you hear in the night. While seas lay at calm, you know what is right. Morning bracks with a fury, ocean's tempest you face. Your flag bears a shield. You'll finish this race. You know what shield that is? It's the shield of faith. He said, "For the cargo you carry safely stored in the hold, 'tis finer than silver, more precious than gold. With seed you've been entrusted." Seed. The word of God is seed. He said, "With seed you've been entrusted to be sown in the ground. Open hearts await your arrival, none more fertile to be found. And with each port you come to, grateful soils bid you stay. But quiet voice softly calling beckons you on your way. For many's a harbor and far distant shore, more cargo to deliver, so many hungry and poor. The years roll on by, yet no haven for your rest. For the sea owns your soul, you've passed every test. Many years from now, I see a visage that's worn." Now, what's he talking about? What's a visage? This thing. And he sees it worn. Why? Because by the time I'm done, this body will be thoroughly used for the gospel. He says, "Many years from now, I see a visage that's worn, weathered hand on the rudder, sails tattered and torn. But she's a seaworthy vessel, precious cargo she's borne. Her hold's never empty, ne'er lost nor forlorn. Now the children tell a tale of a captain long ago, who never took rest, traversing waters unknown, of a ship run aground on some far distant shore. Her hold now empty, the captain's voice heard no more. For on a moonlit night," listen to this, "on some calm distant sea, the captain walked the deck, breeze wafting cool and free. Then appeared on the water the form of a man. He beckoned to the captain, 'Follow me, take my hand.' The captain approached the master, and across the water they did walk. To distant far horizon they were given to much talk." What's that mean? That Jesus coming for me. So, this is not a chapter and a verse. Okay? Does that make sense? But how many heard scriptures all the way through that? So what do I know about this? This sits as a prophetic word inside the confines of the scripture. Does that make sense? Okay? And so that I judged and that I went, it's mine. It's mine. And so if somebody gives you a word, you know, people think, "I'd love a word like that. I'll give him a call and see what he..." That's not how it works. I don't know what to tell you. I've never asked for any of these things, okay? I don't know what to say. It just is what it is, you know? But you have to find what it is that God wants you to do, and then God will confirm that. He will confirm it. He will speak to you. And then Paul said this. Paul told Timothy to war a good warfare with the prophecies that were spoken over him. So the ones that are right, you can take and you can war with them. This one's right. You know, I'm excited about all parts of it, but I'm ready. I'll be ready in many days from now, in years from now, to walk. I'll be ready to walk that and just walk off. And I will do it. I'll just walk off and go to heaven. But not until the hull of the ship is empty and every seed is sown. Amen? Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that it helps. I pray that it leads. I pray that, Lord, revelation comes. And in the areas that there's no understanding or where it's confusing, that by your light and by your spirit, you'll speak to each individual in their private prayer time and their private devotion time. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it's seated deep. And Lord, we'll do our part in keeping the enemy away, and we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll see you Wednesday, guys. Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.